Bibles tonight into Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. And we trust tonight as you come seeking the blessing of the Lord. We're thankful for the service this morning. And I tell you, many said that the Lord blessed their heart and they were fed by the word this morning. And I tell you what, that's what we need is to feast at the master's table. Amen. And I tell you what, you feast from the manna from on high, and you'll never be satisfied with what you find in this world. Amen. The hog pen will never satisfy you any longer. Amen. And I'm thankful that we can feast at the master's table. And tonight, as we look at this portion of scripture, you're all familiar with it, how the children of Israel have left Egypt, and they have made it out to the brink of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is in hot pursuit, and they begin to wonder, they begin to fear, and they begin to feel troubled in the midst of all that they thought they were going to have victory in. And praise God, sometimes God's people get troubled. Sometimes we get burdened. Sometimes we face adversities in our lives. And it seems, they say, during the holiday period, the holiday season is the greatest time of suicide of the whole year. People get the most depressed. They get the most discouraged. They get the most let down. But let me tell you something, folks, tonight in Jesus we can get lifted up. Amen. And tonight we can be encouragers. How we can be a help and we can be a hope to a lost and a dying world. If you'll stand with us, if you're able tonight, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word, we'll begin reading in Exodus chapter number 14. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "Then Pharaoh drew nigh the children." When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Jump down with me into verse number 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace, please? Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as we stop and look, we see that Israel's in a bad place. They're in a troubled place. They're in a trying place. They're in what seems like a hopeless place. Before them, we got the Red Sea as it stretches out, and it is there before them, an obstacle, a barrier to their safety. To the one side, they have the mountainous range of the wilderness there that prevents them from finding a quick path and a means of escape where the multitudes can make it through. On the other side, there's a wilderness that looms before them, a place where there is nothing there to sustain the vast multitudes that have come out. But here they are, and now Pharaoh's closing in behind them, and they're beginning to fear. And that's much the way we get sometimes in our lives as we walk in this world. How we look around us and we see obstacles on every side. We're trying to do right. We're trying to function right. We're trying to live right. We're trying to follow God's direction. But in front of us are obstacles. To the sides of us are obstacles. troubles, and behind us is our past that's quickly chasing us. It's quickly trying to consume us. It's quickly trying to destroy us. And it seems like there is no hope until we cry upon the Lord. The children of Israel, they looked around them and they seen their situation and they realized how dire a situation it was. And the Bible says they cried unto the Lord. Sometimes we need to get to the place to where when everything happens, we realize our best resource, our best recourse, our best means of action is to simply cry out to the Lord. They cried to the Lord, but then they cried to Moses. They cried to the Lord, but then they went to the man of God. Let me tell you what, I'll do all I can to pray for you. I'll do all I can to help you. But let me tell you what, nobody, now I love every one of you. I think highly of every one of you. I esteem each and every one of you as dear to my heart. But nobody, and nobody, and I mean nobody, will ever love you like Jesus loves you. Amen. Nobody will ever care for you like Jesus cares for you. And before you come to the man of God, you ought to go to the Lord himself and ask him for his deliverance and ask him for his help. Amen. They found that they were in a situation that only God was going to be able to rectify. They found that they were in a situation that they thought would never occur and would never happen. You ever get to a place where you find yourself in a situation you thought it would never happen to you? It's always somebody else. It's always the other person. It's always the other family. Today is the 14th birthday of our granddaughter, Allison, who passed away. We try to live right. We try to do right. We try to be godly people. But 14 years ago, a little baby was born that died 33 days later in surgery in the hospital. And sometimes we can stand back and we can say, well, I never thought that would happen to me. But why me? Because God brings us to places. God brings us to situations. God brings us to adversity to show us that he's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still just as sweet today as he was the day before my grandbaby died. Amen. He's still just as precious to me. And I hold this to be dear. I hold this to be true, that I have the hope and the promise that one day I'm going to get to see that little girl. The Bible says I'll know as I'm known. I'm going to know her. Amen. I'm going to hold her. I'm going to love her. And I'm going to cherish her just like I do today. But now I can do in part because I see through the glass darkly. But praise God, one day God's going to give me the opportunity to do it in person. Amen. Now we can get bitter or we can get blessed. Amen. We have a choice to make. Amen. We have a decision to make, and we can get bitter at God or we can get blessed by God. And the children of Israel, they cried out unto God, and then they begin to get bitter. But pretty soon we see that they found out they didn't realize just how blessed they really was. Why were they there to begin with? What brought them to this place to begin with? What led them down to the circumstances? Let me tell you what it was. It was the blood. Amen. It was the blood. This wasn't a bunch of heathens lost in the world. This wasn't the heathen nations that God had railed against and God would clamor against. This was his people. This was his chosen seed. This was the ones whom he desired, and he brought them out under the promise and under the covering of the blood. Amen. They weren't there because they were somebody else's problem. They were there because they were his children. Amen. And the blood had bought them, and the blood had brought them out. Amen. And as long as they followed God, as long as they were his, the blood was going to keep them where they needed to be. Amen. You know, sometimes we think that just because we're blood bought, just because we're the redeemed of God. Amen. You know, they were redeemed by the blood. Amen. When the death angel passed through and he seen the blood. Amen. He passed on over. Praise God. He still passes over when he sees the blood. Amen. They were redeemed by the word. God told them how to prepare themselves and how to get ready, amen, for the death angel to come. And praise God, they obeyed his word and they shared the word of God with the people. And the people did what God said, and they put the blood on the doorpost. They struck the blood on the lintel. And when the death angel come by, he could say, yes, that house there has obeyed the word. That house there has lived according to the word. That house there is under the blood because they paid attention and they heeded what the word said.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, we still need to heed what the word says. But because we're under the blood, don't think that we're immune to problems. We're immune to adversity. We're immune to situations in our life. Anybody here going through a situation?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody here going through a problem? Anybody here facing some adversity in your life? You know, when the devil gets against us, we begin to really know and we get to really experience adversity. The devil, he gets on the bandwagon and he wants to ride our wagon and he wants to ride us into the ground, amen, until he can destroy us and until he can tear us up and until he can tear us down. They weren't there for any other reason than that they belonged to God and they had been marked by the blood. Listen, back in Exodus chapter 12, it says in verse 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead, might I put, except for the house that was under the blood. Amen. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. And he said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. And take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone. But listen to what Pharaoh said. And bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. Let me tell you something. Those that are under the blood don't live in the land of the dead. Amen. We don't dwell among, they come looking for Jesus. And the angel said unto Mary and the women that were with her, said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. I tell you what, God's people ought to be the most alive people there ever was. The world ought to look at God's people and know when they look at God's people that they're nothing but dead men when they see what the blood has done in our life, what they see with the change that the blood can make in an individual. They ought to realize that without the blood, there's no hope for them. Them Egyptians looked at the Israelites who had been placed under the blood. And they said, we're but dead men. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, the folks, God's people who are under the blood, they need to get out away from the dead.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And we need to dwell with the living. Amen. We need to dwell under the blood. They weren't there for any other reason, and they weren't in this situation for any other reason but that they had done, not because they had sinned some great sin, not because God was trying to punish them, but God was trying to strengthen them. God was trying to help them. God was trying to promote them in this world and in their walk and in their life. He wanted them to know that they're going to face adversity, but they never had to fear, because he would be there with them. Amen. We see why they were there and what they found when they got there. And it came to pass in chapter 13, verses 17 to 22 and 14, 1 to 4. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God let them not through the valley of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, And the children went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he will carry, and he shall carry my bones up away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And Moses spake unto, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Phahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, in the wilderness, and has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. I praise God. When they got there, they found out that they were between a rock and a hard place. But they also found out that God had a reason for bringing them there. Amen. They were going to find out that it was a scary situation. It was a scary time. It was a can you imagine men having your family, your wives and your children and all your possessions out here, and you've done escaped out of Israel. God has done ransomed you through the blood, and now you look behind you. A Pharaoh who said that you could go is now pursuing after you, and he's got his chariots and his men of war and his army there. Can you imagine what would be going through your heart and to your mind when you looked at your family and you looked at what you was about to lose if God didn't intervene on your behalf? Women, think about your little babies and your children. The ones that you'd give birth to had come forth from your loins, and you look and you see the army of Pharaoh coming, and you know that dear little baby, that dear little boy, that dear little girl, that child that you cherish so much has no hope whatsoever, because Pharaoh and his army are merciless. They're going to show no mercy. They know no mercy. All they know is repression, oppression, and bondage. And praise God, you know there's no hope. But then God shows up. Amen. But then God shows up. Amen. You know what they found there? That in their darkest moment, in their darkest hour, God would be there with them. Amen. Amen. Now listen, when God was bringing all these plagues upon Egypt, they didn't get to experience that. Amen. When all the plagues were happening in Egypt, the children of Israel were going about life as normal. They weren't affected. They weren't dealt with by the plagues. Amen. They had no concept. Sometimes we get in our churches and sometimes we get isolated and we get separated away from the world, and we're not afflicted and we're not touched by all the things that the folks in the world are touched in. And then something happens and something like is going on in the world happens in our life. Let me just give you a modern day example. You find out that your child is addicted to drugs. You find out that your child is the one that the school has called the police about because they got the gun. Did you read about that or hear about this the other day in school? Out in Utah, some parents rushed into a school. They realized there was something wrong with their child that morning, their son that morning. And he'd went to school. He had a shotgun and a pistol and was in the school. And about the same time, I think the police got there, the parents got there, and rushed into the school. They realized something was wrong and noticed that the gun safe was open and guns were missing. And they went to, suppose that had been your child. Amen. Let's put this in a modern day context. Amen. Let's put this in a modern day context. Your loved one comes to you and says, I got cancer. I got cancer. Amen. Your loved one comes to you and says, I don't love you anymore. I don't care anymore. Your children look at you and say, I hate you. I despise you. Your parent says, get out. I don't want you anymore. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Adversity that comes our way and trials that seem insurmountable. What you going to do? The boss looks at you. You've been there all these years and they've got the best years of your life. And they say, well, we don't need you any longer. Amen. Happens. Had a good friend of mine. His dad was a maintenance supervisor. And worked in this plant for 30-some years. And when he started getting in his upper 50s, one day they come to him and told him, we don't need you any longer. We don't need you any longer. You don't have a job anymore. Pack your stuff and leave. He'd done given them the best years of his life. Now what's he going to do? Nobody's going to hire a 55-year-old man that's not for the money that he was making, not for the job that he was doing. Lost. It happens. It happens. But what are you going to do when it happens? You're going to do the same thing that the children of Israel did. Amen. You're going to have to stand back and trust God. You're going to have to call out to God. You're going to have to look to God. You're going to have to go to the man of God and let him intercede on your behalf. You need to turn around to your, I bet they were looking at one another and saying, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to get through this? Church, I tell you what, look around at your church, amen. If our churches keep going the way they are, there's not going to be much of a church here or anywhere else. And this, we're not unique, trust me. We're not unique. I'm here it from pastors all over the place. It's a happening, and it's just like there's a great falling away, a great turning away, and we don't understand why. How when God is still saving souls, God's still moving, but people don't have a burden. If God's people don't come together, and God's people don't seek God's face, and God's people don't get on their face on the ground and cry out to God in humility and saying, God, what are we going to do? You'll never see God show up. Amen. But they cried out to God. And you know what they found when they got there? You know what they found in the midst of that situation? God was sufficient. Amen. God that was going before them. Amen. God that was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Bible says he removed himself. Amen. I'm glad that God positions himself in my life on my behalf where I need him to be when I need him to be there. Amen. He didn't wait until he didn't go there before Pharaoh comes, so they didn't know. But praise God, when they looked out and seen the problem, amen, God wanted them to know that he was the answer to the problem. Amen. And you know what? He's still the answer today. He's still the answer today. Amen. When God is the answer, amen, the problem doesn't seem quite as bad. The Bible says that God moved himself behind them and he lit the Israelites and he brought darkness over the Egyptians. And he stood between them. Amen. He stood between them. I'm glad that nothing can touch me, as the song says, Jackie. Amen. Nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through his hands. Amen. Nothing can touch me that he doesn't know is going to touch me. Nothing can pass me unless it goes through him first. And praise God, I am his and he is mine. I love him and he loves me more than I can ever love him. And praise God, he's not going to let anything happen to me that he doesn't need to happen to me for a reason and for a purpose. Amen. I bet you asked Sister Tanya, Did what God allow to touch you draw you closer to God? I know it has. I've witnessed it. I bet you can ask her mama, did it draw you closer to God? I bet you can ask her children, did it draw you closer to God? Amen. God allows things to come through our lives. He allows things to touch our lives. But he wants us to know that there's nothing in our life that can affect our lives that he's not in control of. Amen. And praise God when he gets between us. Amen. We can go. Whew. Amen. We can back up and regroup. They said, Moses, cry out to God. Cry out to God on our behalf. We have time to have prayer meeting. Amen. We have time to get in touch with the throne room of God when he brings that peace and he brings that protection. He brings that law in the storm of our life. Amen. When the eye of the storm passes by, we have a little bit of peace. You know, a tornado, everybody thinks the eye is all about peace. Well, there's a storm on both sides of that eye. Amen. But when the eye gets there, it gives you time to regroup for just a minute. Amen. And to refocus. Focus and to repurpose yourself to trust in him. And God said, Moses, why are you standing here crying out to me? He said, just stretch your rod out over the sea and let the waters be parted, and you will go across on dry land. Let me tell you something tonight. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And when you get to the place of adversity, you'll find out just what God is trying to show you and teach you in your life. But he will always show you that things aren't as bad as you thought they were. Amen. He's already got a path laid out for you. He's already got a path laid out because of you. Amen. They found out when they got there that they were helpless to do anything for themselves. They found out that there was no hope in anything that they had to offer. But praise God, when they trust God, amen, he already has a plan. I'm glad he had a plan in eternity past. Amen. I'm glad he had a plan that involved the blood. Amen. I'm glad the blood was sufficient to save me. I'm glad the blood was sufficient to redeem me. I'm glad the blood was sufficient to clean me up. I'm glad the blood is sufficient to keep me today. Amen. I'm glad the blood of Jesus is everything that I need to keep me walking where I need to walk. Because when I want to stray, all I need to remember is every precious drop of blood that was shed on my behalf. Amen. I was talking in Sunday school this morning. Says if, and he says that they abide in him and walk not in his commandments, they're a liar. Amen. We make too many excuses for our loved ones. We make too many excuses for our friends and our families. Amen. I tell you what they need is a good old dose of the truth, a good old dose of reality, of getting down to the place where there's no help outside of Jesus. Amen. There's no help outside of him. And they found out when they got there that they had everything they needed because they had him. Because they were bought by the blood. They were under the blood. Amen. They were under a blood covenant. And because of that blood covenant, God was going to protect and God was going to see his people through. And when they got there and they saw what God was going to do, they saw how God began to act. Praise God. They saw what God did. Over in the last part of this chapter, in the first part of the 15th chapter, it says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians did upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which God did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Praise God. When you see God bring you through something and you look back, you see how marvelously God has orchestrated everything that was going to happen. He brought them to a place of adversity. He brought them to a place of hopelessness. They were hemmed in, pinned in, blocked in. No place to go. No means of escape. The only thing they had was Jesus and to call on him. And praise God, when they called on him, he opened the Red Sea and he made a way for them. And when those that were pursuing them after the last Israelite child had come through after he'd done made it to the other side. And by the way, they passed through on dry land. Amen. When they got through to the other side, praise God, they looked back and they began to see this mighty army of Pharaoh, this mighty army of Egypt pursuing them. Amen. And then they got to see what God does. Amen. Now, don't tell me God does not have a sense of humor. Amen? What did God do to the Egyptians? The Bible says he pulled their chariot wheels off. Now, he could have just spoke a word and they'd have disappeared. He could have just spoke a word and the sea would have engulfed them again. But the Bible says he took their chariot wheels off. He not only let the children of Israel know that he was their God. He not only let the children of Israel know that he was moving on their behalf. He let the children of Israel know that he had the power over all the forces of evil that would seek to destroy them. The devil came to God. The Bible says they presented themselves to God, and Satan come, the sons of men presented themselves to God, and the devil come amongst them. And God says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Amen. And Satan said, "Well, he don't serve you for any other reason but that you bless him so. Take away his blessings and he'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Well, go ahead, take away his blessings. Just don't touch him." You see, Satan couldn't do anything that God didn't allow him to do. Amen. Cancer can't do anything that God doesn't allow it to do. Amen. Drugs can't do anything in your family, in your child's life, in your loved one's life. Not just children, moms and dads. My land, I worked with a bunch of people my age that were addicted to drugs and were getting fired all the time because of drug violations. Seen it happen to more than one family. But drugs can only do what God will allow to do. God's stronger than the drugs. Amen. Amen. I got people that come to this church that'll tell you right now, they done found out that rebirth will do what rehab could never do. Amen. They done found that reality out, and they found it out right away because they can only do what God allows them to do. Amen. God is in control. God is on the throne. And God looks down at silly things. And he looks down at man's silly plans. And he can knock the chariot wheels right off your chariot. Amen. He can take that individual that is causing you the problem. And he can take their chariot wheels off. He can look at that situation that's causing you problems. And he can take the chariot wheels off. Amen. He can look at that young man that breaks your heart. Amen. And you better not ever. All right. And take his chariot wheels off. Amen. Amen. I love it when they sit up front. Amen. But let me tell you something. God has a sense of humor. And sometimes he wants his people to know that he cares so much about them that he'll take the chariot wheels off before he drowns them. Amen. Just so they know. Just so it knows. Just so the problem is aware. I like Brother Joe. I never worked for J.R. Briones. Amen. The first time he was here, one thing he said, you know, we look at our problems sometimes and say, man, God, I got a big problem. He said, we ought to look at our problems and say, problem, I got a big God. Amen. He wants our problems to know. Amen. That he's still in control. He's greater than our problems. When they seen what God had done, the Bible said they had something to sing about. Because God drowned Pharaoh. God drowned Pharaoh's army. God drowned, and as a matter of fact, they are finding, and they have found chariot wheels at and around different archaeological sites at the Red Sea. On occasion, you know, one perhaps breaks loose and comes floating to the surface just to remind people. Amen. Hey, man, just to remind people, hey, God was here. God did this. God was in control. But when they come through the other side, they wasn't singing and crying and bellyaching, oh my and oh me. They had a song of praise. They had a song of joy. They had a song of confidence. They had a song of assurance. Why do we sing the hymns that we sing? They're songs of assurance. Amen. They're songs of affirmation. They're songs of our confidence. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for those promises that God has given us and God has yielded unto us. But friends, don't face and don't look at adversity when you face adversity as necessarily some kind of a punishment or something that you can't come through. God is bringing it to you to teach you a lesson that you can depend on him, you can trust in him, and that you can have a song when things seem the darkest. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking.